The Holy Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he became power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is the only Son, himself God, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. You are welcome to be seated. Good morning, and thank you for the invitation. I know you didn't personally make it, but I'm very glad to be here. I come not knowing very much about Christ the King other than what I've learned in the last few weeks. In fact, on the morning I was to meet with Pastor Pear, I drove straight to the church in Bloomington where I thought Christ the King was. Walked into Atonement, apparently without reading the big sign in front that said Atonement, and asked to meet Pastor Pear. And the secretary said, "He's not at this church. He's at Christ the King." And I said, "This is not Christ the King?" She said, "No." "Okay. Can you give me an address?" And, of course, my Google could do that, too. So I found him pretty quickly. I was still here in plenty of time. Pull the mic down. Okay. Thank you. Good to know. So, the things I have learned about you, I've learned some of your aspirations that are posted on your wall. That you intend for this to be a place where sharing is the norm. That you intend to be a place that helps find a home for all. That you intend to be a place that makes sure that the food in our world, which is overwhelmingly plenty for all the people in the world to eat, gets to those people instead of them starving or going hungry or struggling. These are wonderful aspirations. Thank you. Last week, I was volunteering at the community pantry, the community produce pantry at Diamond Head Education Center in Burnsville. I worked on the school staff. I was a teacher in early childhood family education for 37 years and retired June 7th to devote more time to ministry. I've done both for the last 25 years. And I got there and all the food is, you know, all ready to go. We had onions, cabbage, sweet potatoes, and apples, okay? And so we do it drive-through so that people don't have to figure out what to do with their children or what to do if they can't carry big boxes. They just drive up, and we put them in their back seat or in their trunk or whatever works. And I didn't count the people because that wasn't my job that day, but I would say we maybe had 40 cars come through. And when we started, I think we had maybe 50 boxes of sweet potatoes. They each had about 50 pounds of sweet potatoes in them. And so we divide them up, and we don't ask people their name or why they need the food or anything like that. We just ask them, "How many families are you coming for? How many people in each family? So when a trailer pulled up, a trailer home pulled up, and she said, two families, 11 in one and five in the other. We gave them more boxes than we would normally give the other cars or trucks. When we left, we only do it for an hour. And when we left, or when we were getting ready to leave, we had 14 boxes left of sweet potatoes, 14 50-pound boxes. And I don't remember exactly how much of the rest of the stuff, the apples and the cabbage. But the plan there at Diamond Head, the school doesn't pay staff to figure out where that food goes if we don't distribute it all. So they don't do that. And the school does not allow it. There's no storage in the school for all that food. There's storage before we give it out, but not after. And so the norm in Burnsville is we leave the food outside where we have been giving it from in boxes and in bags. Excuse me. And cover it with a tarp. And anyone who comes in the next 12 hours can have whatever they want. So 14 50-pound boxes of sweet potatoes, among other things. And then the next morning, about 9 o'clock, any food that's left over, any produce, is put in the recycling for organics. It's such a shame, such a waste. I didn't know that before that day. That was my first day volunteering there. However, that day, I heard later in the day from the director, when she got there in the morning, all the food was gone. Whether people couldn't come in the hour we were giving it out, maybe their child was sleeping or they were working or whatever else, and they know that that's the plan. If there's any left, you can come and take whatever you need or whatever you want. And so I just kind of marvel, because even to take a guess at how many people are going to show up and need food, I'm glad I don't have that job. It must be very difficult. Even to have enough volunteers to distribute it, know how many cars are going to come. We do what tiny thing we're able to do to help the food needs of our school district. But frankly, we don't ask if anybody is from our school district. We don't ask them their name or their or where they live or whether they live in the school district, or even, and we don't ask them if they're a citizen. And in some cases, they can ask if they give us a cue that they speak another language. Hopefully it's Spanish, because that's the one most of the volunteers have a tiny bit of. We can answer their questions in Spanish as well. But we give it to anyone who comes, anyone who asks. We ask just those two questions. How many families? How many in each family? I can say those things in Spanish too. All the ways that we are blessed to be able to share, whether it's Christ the King here, or a little Oakland Lutheran between Albert Lee and Austin, where I was most recently serving. So there'd be about 20 people in worship on Sunday morning. We do what we can. And the more we listen to what God has told us, not only the more blessed are we, but the more blessed are the people around us, or the people we try and make a difference for. There's three things I want you to remember out of this sermon, and I'm going to tell you what they are as we go, okay? The first is from the Proverbs reading. And it is, let your heart keep my commandments. And that doesn't mean perfectly. That means do your very best. Say it together, please. Let your heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep my commandments. Okay. The second piece I want to share with you is from our gospel lesson. I was very surprised when Pastor Pear handed me these scriptures when I came here last week. And these are two of probably my three or four favorite scriptures in the Bible. So The gospel reading for John, I don't know how many of you might have read it in a different translation, and I don't know how many of you know about Pastor Eugene Peterson's paraphrase called The Message, but Pastor Eugene Peterson talks about Jesus came into where we were. He himself came into the world. And he doesn't, I can't remember which words he's translating, but he talks about Jesus moved into the neighborhood. And I love that vision, because as neighbors, we are often our very best. Now, that's not to say there aren't neighbors we struggle with. We have a neighbor who about 40 years ago, it's kind of shameful that I even remember this, but who called the city to complain that our grass was too long, because he mowed his much more regularly. And so he complained. They complained that it was too long. What he didn't know was that my husband's father had died that week, and mowing the grass was not the most important thing to us. A few years ago, maybe a year ago or so, he decided to get a bigger snowplow or bigger snowblower for his house, because he was tired of the little one that he had wasn't clearing the driveway and the walks fast enough. And he came over, and we have been shoveling our walk by hand. We got three boys, you know, all of us shovel. We're well able to do that. And he came over and he said to my husband, I wasn't there, but he said, "Hey, Jim, would you like my old snowblower? Because I got a new one." It totally changed our understanding of this person. And that's why I'm ashamed that I remember the other. But Jesus comes into our neighborhoods, and we have the ability as neighbors across town, across the yard, or across the world to be neighborly in meaningful ways. So the second thing I want you to remember is Jesus is here with us in our neighborhood. Jesus is here with us in our neighborhood. The third thing is from the reading of Romans. Now, I don't know how many of you might have been married by a pastor who did this kind of thing, but Gordon Burgeen at Diamond Lake, where I grew up, encouraged people who were preparing for marriage to memorize scripture together. And this text happens to be one of the texts that we memorize together. And so I cannot tell you how often it has come into my mind, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And there are certainly things that might separate us that are challenges. I don't know when you found out yesterday, if you found out about yesterday's shooting, but I learned about it when I went on Facebook and another pastor posted, "Well, there goes that sermon." Apparently what they were written did not seem appropriate after that shooting. And I am glad that President Biden prayed for Pastor Trump, and I hope we both pray for all of them, no matter who we're going to vote for, because that's what we are called to do. But it certainly does change our perspective on a lot of things. We are saddened by that kind of violence anywhere in our world. Does it happen in Minnesota? Yes. Does it happen in Bloomington? Yes. And those are not the only kind of tragedies you might be dealing with. I don't know, in looking out at you, who in this congregation might have had someone die in their family this week. I don't know who might have gotten a very serious diagnosis that is life-threatening and is really struggling with that. I don't know who has a sibling or another member of their family that they have become estranged from. And as we age, we think, I sure want to figure out a way to repair this relationship. I don't want to end life this way. The challenges we have may be little challenges, or at least it feels little to me now. I have twins who are going to turn 34 in August. They were born at 33 and a half weeks, which 34 years ago was a much bigger deal than it is today. They were 4'10 and 4'15. 4'10 Matthew dropped to 3'9 before he turned back around and came up. He was hospitalized for 4 months. Nathan, the larger of the two, came home after 4 weeks. After the first week and a half, they were in separate hospitals. So for a period of time, I had a child at Fairview Ridges, I had a child at Minneapolis Children's, and I had a child playing football for Metcalf Junior High. It was kind of a busy time. Oh, and in addition, I was in the middle of seminary. It's a very challenging year. Now, those boys are all whole and healthy and have no deficits whatsoever. And the youngest and littlest of the group is producing grandchildren to beat the band. So all is good. But whatever challenges we have, nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can separate them from God's love. Even the people who don't acknowledge God are in God's love. Think about that. So your Somali neighbors, I don't know how you greet people, Somali people on the street, but in Burnsville, where we have quite a diverse population, I generally greet my Muslim neighbors who are obviously dressed Muslim. Usually it's mamas walking with children with salam alaikum, peace be with you, because that's their traditional greeting. It does not compromise my faith one iota to wish them God's peace in a different language. And we have so much opportunity to be reminded and to remember. If you were going to memorize some scripture that you haven't yet memorized, I would commend to you verses 37 through 39 of Romans 8. No, in all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, not anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's say that last piece together. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of the day is ELW 655, Son of God, Eternal Savior.